You're listening to Grow Great, the podcast, Season 2020, Episode 35. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Today is Wednesday, November the 11th, 2020, a.k.a. Veterans Day. Hey, let's talk about multiple opinions, using the insight of others to reach our ideal outcome. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. He'd had some problems, and he knew something wasn't right, but scared to death. I get it. So eventually he goes to the doctor. Some tests are run. Of course, now he's just got to sit and wait. He's anxious. He's fearful. Working really hard to convince himself that it's not going to be anything serious. Contacts the doctor's office. Doctor wants to see him. Come in for a consultation. Uh-oh. This is not going to be good, he thinks. So nervously, he enters the waiting room, checks in, begins to sweat. No matter that it's 45 degrees outside. He's called back. Doctor informs him that more tests are going to be needed, but it does not look like this is a problem that is going to have an easy remedy. And the doctor delicately delivers this news, telling him that a number of other physicians, they are going to be involved as together they assess the test results. Doctor says, I know you're worried, and I understand. But let me assure you that we do not handle these things in a vacuum. There will be a room full of very capable physicians, including myself, who will go over the results with a fine-tooth comb, and we will join forces together to do everything we can to serve you. He sits there. He's just paralyzed. Well, his body's paralyzed. His mind is racing. And due to this current pandemic and the restrictions, he's alone with the doctor, both wearing masks. His wife, she's in the parking lot, sitting in the car. Waiting. In fact, the doctor had asked him, you know, do you want to call your wife? Do you want to get your wife on the phone as, you know, we talk this through? He didn't want to do that. He did not want to endure whatever reaction she may have displayed. Not in front of the doctor. It's very important, says the physician. It's very important that a group of us join forces to consider what our next steps should be. And the doctor talks about the value of these skilled, experienced opinions in hopes of building up his confidence that this is not going to be a room full of stupid people. And even though the news isn't good, he leaves the doctor's office believing more than ever in the power of others, and not just the doctor, because, I mean, here he is. He's at the mercy of this doctor and whatever other forces can be marshaled by this doctor. I hope you never have to experience a visit like that. But if you do, don't we want as many smart people in that room as we can get? And for good reason, right? One of them might miss what the others surely can catch and what others might think, you know, can be challenged by somebody with a novel idea, maybe an innovative solution of some sort, that'd be nice too. Outside insights can make all the difference in our ability to grow great. And not just our ability to grow great, but our ability to stay alive, right? Today is Veterans Day. My dad turned 97 in September. He is a World War II vet. He's healthy. He's doing well. He's living independently with my mother, where they need no serious health care other than doctor visits that they make with some regularity, not crazy. We're blessed. He's blessed. She's blessed. And I was thinking about all of this, these other opinions and our leaning on other people, and And I began to think about the world that he grew up in, a very different world than the one that he's in today. He has seen the pace of the world pick up speed. I've seen it, and I'm many years his junior. And he's also seen the sheer volume of information, the sheer acceleration of data and technology and science. I mean, it's just a blinding speed. What may have been humanly possible once, well, it's not possible anymore, namely, for us to just keep it all straight. I don't remember when I was first writing down things. I've always kind of written down things, but when I first began to write things down so I would remember them, you know, because, well, for instance, do you remember, are you old enough to remember a Rolodex? Do you remember when you bought your first Rolodex? Because you had too many business cards and you had too many business contacts that you couldn't keep them straight. And you didn't have a phone like we do now where all the contacts are kept digitally, right? You either had to paperclip or scotch tape a business card to a Rolodex card, and then you kept that on your desk. So thankfully you had this alphabetized list of things, but now can you imagine how big our Rolodexes would be? I mean, how many, I haven't even looked. I couldn't tell you the last time I looked at how many contacts I have in my phone. Not to mention the email addresses. It's daunting, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Nobody can keep up with all that. Not by themselves. We need tools and resources, and we also need other people because life is just absolutely so frantic. Let me make a side point here. And the side point is these multiple opinions, because I think it probably deserves some clarification, because so often I have these conversations and here's the yin and yang of it. While we need multiple opinions, as I have described so far, and in many, many other instances, then there's the flip side where people get wrapped around the axle with people who have an opinion and, okay, we give that opinion too much credence. I'm thinking of people who have some particular goal that they want or some particular thing that they are trying to achieve, and they've got naysayers in their life. And I'm particularly thinking of, somebody so building a house or remodeling a house, and everybody and their dog's got opinions about, I'm not, but I know some people who are. And, oh, no, I wouldn't paint it that color. I'd paint it this color. Oh, no, I wouldn't buy that door. I'd buy this door. Oh, no. I wouldn't buy that window. I'd buy this other window. Huh. Right? So we've got those kinds of opinions. I'm not talking about those kinds of opinions. Those kinds of opinions are not valuable. People think they are, but they're not. The multiple opinions that are valuable are those that can help us see things more clearly. Those that can help us avoid our blind spots, not people who are trying to vicariously live our lives for us. I tell people this story pretty often because it happened when I was young and it stuck with me. And it's just a pretty powerful illustration. I think I'm a young guy. I'm working for a global company and I've got a client in Kansas City and the boss flies in. The boss wants to go visit this client. Fine. So we go in to visit the client, and the boss, who's a little bit of an arrogant, you know what, anyway, he sits down, he begins to tell this business owner, you know, if I were you, I'd do this and I'd do that and I'd do this other. And he begins to critique the man's business. And the guy just patiently sits there and looks at him, does not look away. And I'm sitting next to my boss, obviously, on the other side of the table. And at some point when my boss comes up for air, the business owner looks at him and says, you know the difference between you and me? And my boss says, what? And he said, I'm betting with my own money that I'm right. Mm-hmm. Now, secretly inside, I'm doing a fist pump and I'm going, yes, you know, because I just loved it. I loved it. And that's what I would tell you is absolutely true when it comes to multiple opinions about things that frankly are your own business, because you're the one that's got a dog in the hunt and they don't. You know, the thing that I've described with the man going in to see the doctor, okay, that ain't this. That's not a matter. This is a matter of people who have infinitely more insight and experience and know-how trying to serve this man. And when you've got friends, even enemies, that are telling you, oh, no, 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 you don't want to paint your walls that color. Well, they're not trying to serve you. They're trying to dictate. Oh, they're absolutely trying to influence you. But kind of like this business owner, you know, until you're writing a check to paint that wall, I kind of think I'm going to paint it the way I want to paint it. The yellow studio is the yellow studio because, well, guess what? The walls are yellow. I describe them appropriately so as mustard yellow. Here's an Easter egg in today's show. You know what Easter eggs are, those like little hidden things. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because sometimes I get emails and people wonder, you know, about the yellow studio. It's yellow and it's mustard yellow, and the inspiration for it came from Cuddy, Dr. Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, Dr. Cuddy. Dr. Cuddy was Dr. House on the TV show House. She was his boss, and the walls in her office, when I saw that on television, I thought, I like that. I kind of like that. So there you go. There's an Easter egg that you frankly didn't want or need, but there it is. Well, if somebody says, well, listen, it shouldn't be the yellow studio. It needs to be the orange studio. Okay. Well, it's yellow because I want it yellow. And so there. So to be clear, there are these opinions that completely get in our way. These multiple opinions that completely vex us because people are judging us. People are trying to live our lives for us. And let me give you an aside here, because this seems to come up in the conversation too frequently as well. People who want to behave poorly. Yes, yes, yes. You absolutely have the right to behave poorly. You even have the right to behave criminally. You have the right to be as wicked, as vile a human being as you want. Well, until you get caught. I mean, if you break the law. Or until you get caught. Okay, if you believe in God and eternity, I do. But you can do what you want. It's not only a free country, but I believe in the creation story, and I believe that God created mankind, and I believe what the Bible says, that God gave you free will to make up your own mind. Oh, yeah, he wants you to do what's right. He wants you to behave yourself. He wants you to be a good human being. He doesn't want you to live some evil, vile, wicked, despicable life, but you can choose to do that. Here's the big difference when we're talking about multiple opinions. You being a vile, wicked, evil person, I do have a dog in that hunt. And the dog I have in that hunt is you are living in the world I'm living in. You are negatively impacting the world by living a miserable life. You are a bad influence. You are not contributing to society. Yeah, you're in the big minus column, and the rest of us have to pay the price for that. So we do have a dog in the hunt when it comes to the way we behave. It's how civilized societies operate. We have various codes and standards and laws by which we operate in hopes that we can be a contributing part of society and not, you know, some debit to society. We want to be a credit to our race. We don't want to be a debit. So I've just given you three particular angles of multiple opinions. Those opinions where people just want to live our life. They want to judge us on matters that have nothing at all to do with them. Then there are those where we don't want what's bad for people, and we certainly don't want them to influence us or our children by their evil, wicked, vile behavior, much less criminal behavior. We want them caught. We don't want them among us because, well, we all suffer when they are among us. But then, like the scenario going to see the doctor, there are times when we need help to see and to understand and to learn what we simply do not know. Okay, so he doesn't know. He's not a doctor. He relies on the doctor. He doesn't have to rely on this doctor. He could go see another doctor. And you know what we call that? Yeah, Go get a second opinion. Well, I know people who have gone to the trouble to not only get a second opinion, but a third opinion, a fourth opinion. Now, granted, in some cases when the news is bad, we can be prone to want to go seek an opinion that will be less bad. But hopefully, we just want the truth so that we can figure out, now what? What's the best course of action here? Who do you have in your life? These multiple opinions that we need when we realize we need to be surrounded by smart people. And smart doesn't just mean book smart. It doesn't mean brilliant. It doesn't mean clever. But people who may be able to see something that we just can't see. So the other day, I'm wishing I had a second pair of eyes, right? I'm in here, I'm working, and I've got two books in my head that I'm thinking about. And I saw these books a month ago. And I thought I completely knew where I had put them, on a shelf. But I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking. Well, about an hour goes by. I have not found these books. I can't find these books. Now, I'm by myself. I don't have another pair of eyes. And I can't for the life of me figure out what in the world did I do with these books. I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking some more. I make some phone calls. I'm wondering, okay, I mean, maybe I could have loaned them. Did I loan them here? Did I loan them there? No. Nope. You know, the phone calls proved fruitless. No, I you didn't give me any books. I don't know. I don't even know what books you're talking about. It was a shot in the dark. I didn't have a clue. I really didn't think I had loaned them out, but I was stymied. I was like, they were just here. How can I not find these books? 2 hours go by. And you know what I do? I go, the shelf where I thought I had put them, a shelf that, by the way, I looked at, I don't know, 6 times, 8 times, 10 times. I had gone down and looked at the spines of all of these books. Guess where I found them? Yep, you guessed it. The very first place I looked, the very first shelf that I looked at 2 hours earlier, there they were. Now, over that 2 hour period, did they just miraculously appear? No. I can't explain it. I did not see them the first time I looked. I did not see them the 6th time that I looked. I did not see them the 8th time that I looked. I don't know what number it was, but you know when I saw them? Yeah, I saw them the last time I looked. I could have used the inside of somebody else. I mean, I can promise you if I would have said, you know, listen, right here, and I pointed to my shelf and said, you know, right, somewhere right in here is where I'm pretty sure I put them. Would you look there? What do you want to bet? What do you want to bet that some random stranger, I could have said, here's what the titles are, and I think they're somewhere right here. Would you look for me? I've put my glasses on and looked. I've taken my glasses off and looked. I've turned all the lights on and looked. You know what listen, this is how crazy it got. I went and got a flashlight. You know, you see cops on the cop shows with these flashlights, and you're like, just turn the lights on. What are you guys doing? You know, well, there is something to that flashlight focus, right? So I go get this nice LED flashlight I've got. I'm in here. I've got the lights kind of low. I keep it kind of dark anyway, and I've got this flashlight out. I still could not see them. You've got problems in your life. You got problems in your leadership. You got problems in your business. You got problems in your organization. You got problems on your team. You have problems in your group that are exactly the same way. The problem is staring you right in the face, and maybe you can't see it, or maybe you can, but you can't for the life of yourself figure out the solution. You need outside opinions. You need some outside insights. Now, here's the big, big caveat, and I've said this umpteen times in this podcast, but I'll keep on saying it, and I'll keep on preaching the message. It doesn't mean that you must agree with, nor does it mean that you must acquiesce to, nor does it mean that you must comply with the other insights, the other opinions that you get. You can, but you don't have to. The man going to see the doctor can accept that diagnosis, or he can question it. Would it be wrong to question it? Not necessarily. It might be wrong if he continues to question it and it's confirmed over and over and over again, then we might say, okay, now he's just being delusional. Now he's just refusing to accept reality. Well, we don't want to be in that situation. We want to accept reality, but the rub is we want to see reality. The reality is my two books, they were right where I left them. And they were right where I first initially thought they were. Couldn't see them. They were there. The reality is they were there the whole time. So am I to believe, well, because I couldn't see them, they weren't there. And somehow, you know, the Keebler elves came in, or somebody came in over the course of that 2 hours and put the books where I thought they were and presto changeo. No, that didn't happen. I didn't see them. I literally did not see them. And yet there they were, inches from my eyes. You've done stuff like that. Proof that it's possible for us to have a blind spot, literally and figuratively. We can avoid those, and we can drastically improve our lives. We can improve our leadership. We can improve our teams, our groups, our lives, and our companies, and every other aspect of our lives. We can enhance it greatly when we use the insight of other people to reach our ideal outcome. And I've not talked a lot today about the ideal outcome. I'll save that for another time, but it's a really important notion and concept and reality. And I'll tease it this way. There are so many people who go through life every day sleepwalking, and their approach is, and you've said this, we've all said this, it's good enough, right? I mean, you have done perhaps home projects or other things. It's good enough. Translation, it's not very good, but it's not awful. And for it to be better, I don't want to put in the work. And as a result, what do we have? We have mediocrity. As a result, we're average. And yet we want to exclaim, well, we don't want to be average. We don't want to be mediocre. Well, there's a reason that we're average. There's a reason that we're mediocre. Average is the average. It's where most of us live our lives. Because we are average? Maybe. Maybe, but what if it's something more than that? What if it's not because we're average? What if it's because we don't put in the work? What if it's because we're trying to do things alone in this fast-paced world, and we don't have the bandwidth or the capacity for it because it's just too much? We can't be knowledgeable about everything. The man with health concerns cannot, he just does not, unless he's a physician himself, he does not have the medical background, he does not have the experience, he does not have the education, he does not have the training to know. He's relying on someone to help him. He's relying on someone to serve him. Well, what is he hoping for? Oh, I can promise you he has an ideal outcome. His ideal outcome may be to simply live. His ideal outcome may be for the procedures to not be so long, to not take so long, to not be so dramatic. He may have an ideal outcome that it be inexpensive relative to something that might break the bank. Using the insight of others to reach our ideal outcome is a powerful, powerful lever that just, we all understand it. We have all experienced it. Why we do not use it, I can't explain. I really can't explain. Well, I can. And I'll leave you with this one word. Pride, arrogance, conceit. Best I can tell, those are the things that fool us. We think that we don't need the help when we genuinely do. It's rather easy when it's a health concern to realize, okay, I'm over my head. This is way above my pay grade. I gotta have help. But there's so many other areas of our life where we don't need the help. Now, me looking for the book, I would have taken the help. Now, would I have taken the help in the first hour? Maybe, but I can tell you for a fact, I would have taken the help in the second hour. But again, I didn't have the help, and even pride would have stood in my way for at least the first hour. Well, that's a pretty lousy confession to make, to tell you the truth. But it is the truth. I'll do it myself. Okay, I lied. I got one more point. Imposing. Because this comes up. This comes up more frequently than I would have thought. And I had this epiphany about, two, maybe 3 years ago. I hadn't really thought about impositions, but I was sitting inside the Yellow Studio. I had just concluded a coaching session online with someone. And when I hung up, for some reason, I can't remember exactly. I probably made a note of it, but I just can't remember the specifics. I don't know that there was anything specific in the conversation, but maybe. And I wasn't thinking about the client. I was thinking about myself. And I started thinking about this whole notion of using the insights of other people to reach our ideal outcome, something that I have believed in earnest for the last number of years. And I began to think about myself, and I began to think about the people that I help, and not just the people that I help for pay, but the people that I strive to help where there is no pay. It's just something I'm just driven to do it. And I've got a knack for it. I'm pretty good at it. And I was thinking about the help that I frankly felt at the time that I needed, but I wasn't leaning on anybody to get it. And then I had the epiphany. And the epiphany was, you know why I don't? For me, it wasn't so much a pride thing. I didn't want to impose on anybody. I felt like I'd be imposing on people. And I was thinking about personal situations. I was thinking about kind of life situations. And I know I've got a list of contacts of people that I'm close enough with that I could call, but I didn't. And I realized after looking in the mirror for a good long while, I just don't want to impose on them. Now that's my head trash. So when we're thinking about multiple opinions and we're thinking about using the insights of other people to reach our ideal outcome, we have all these things going on. And my encouragement is for you, give these things some thought. Just think about these things and look in the mirror with these things. Think about your pride. Think about your arrogance. Think about your conceit. Think about what's getting in your way. Think about maybe the head trash like I've got. You don't want to impose on people. But deep, deep down, don't you know, because I surely do, that there are people in your life, they're not going to look at it like an imposition. Because here was my big epiphany. When other people call me and want my help, I love it. I don't love that they need help. I don't love that they're going through some difficult time, perhaps, and that's caused them to reach out to me. But I can't tell you how pleased I am to get that call. I can't tell you the feeling that I get knowing that someone thinks enough of me and respects me enough and trusts me enough for me to be that call. It's great. And what dawned on me is, so I really don't want to give somebody else that opportunity. I would rather sit here thinking that I'm imposing on people and deprive them of the very feeling that I thrive on? Well, that doesn't make any sense. It would help if I would unmute my mic, wouldn't it? How long have I been podcasting? No, I didn't just start. You'd think I did. You would also think that I would edit, but again, I don't. Hey, shout out to Dave Jackson at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Dave would tell me, you should edit that. You should edit that. So I'll give him a shout out. I hear you. Multiple opinions, using the insights of others to reach our ideal outcome. And I've just sat here and perfectly illustrated for you. I'm not going to do it. Because there's the other rub, right? At the end of the day, we do what we want to do. Hey, what I want to help you grow. I want to help you grow great. my job, my role, my plan, my intention is not to figure this out for you because, frankly, I can't. My goal is to accelerate your ability to figure it out for yourself. And I'm pretty good at that. Well, I'll just be pompous and arrogant. Come on, I'm great at that. Mm-hmm. Come on, it's grow great. You think I'm going to sit here and go, it's good enough. That's good enough. No, it's not good enough. We want to seek the ideal. We'll push that agenda forward at another date. The ideal outcome. The website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. I appreciate you very, very, very much. I'm building, just go to thepeeradvantage.com. It's all about one-on-one personal coaching, but I'm kind of throwing a twist in here. I'm adding a group component to the personalized, individualized, confidential one-on-one coaching. Yeah, it's... You can go over there. You can see what you want, and you can book a free consultation, and I'll tell you more about it if you're interested. And if you're not, that's okay too. My name is Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.